Yeah, welcome. Come on in. I do have some handouts. Casey, you are now the designated handout giver. So if people come in late, Casey has been anointed as the handout giver. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Jen Speaksma. I'm from Cranbrook, BC. I've had the absolute pleasure of being on the Connect Church leadership team with Frank and Jody leading our church. For a long time. Longer, I realized, in the car last night than some of our youth leaders have been alive, which is really sad. A little bit about myself. So I came back to the Lord in a powerful way in 2007 when I met my husband, Adam. My husband, Adam, and I have been leading at Connect Church since about 2008. I took over our kids ministry in 2008. I have been involved in kids ministry. Like, how old are you when you get signed up to do nursery? 11, right? Yeah. And I came from a small church with no kids ministry. Zero. It was me and a couple other kids. So when I turned about 11 or 12, I got put into, you know, teaching the couple two-year-olds, triplets, who are now married and having babies, which is super weird. Anyhow, I have four kids. Azriel is our oldest. Janoa is our second. And then we have Jaron, our one boy who was promised to us. And actually, it was at one of these conferences. I had a hard heart. You know, sometimes as moms, we have a couple kids and we're like, that is good, Lord. Like, I am perfect. And I came to the conference and the Lord said to me, Jen, do you have your son yet? He had promised me a son years ago. Do you have your son yet? No, Lord, I don't have my son yet. And we had our son 9 months after the conference. You do the math. Conference babies. And then, that's why my husband doesn't come to conferences anymore. It's our birth control plan. Just kidding. I'll try to stay on the cuff today. And then finally, our sweet girl, Alina. She's our youngest. She's our spitfire. She's fantastic. So that's my family in a nutshell. Something I just absolutely love about Connect Church is that we have a mandate for growth. We don't want to be stuck. One of our codes is we change things up. And so what I'm going to teach you today is a strategy. It's a structure, but structure is just paper. And if you just take the paper and go home and work out your strategy on the paper, then it's nothing but wasted time and paper. So I'm giving you a tool today, but truly, truly, I tell you, it's something to work out in stages, and I'll get into that later. So why? Well, I took over our kids' ministry in 2008. When I took over our kids' ministry, it was awesome. High energy. Kids were all in the room together. It was just a big smolder of kids. We had nursery and we had kids. And all of our kids were in one room, ages 3 to 18, all in one, just one room. And when I took over our kids' ministry, I was like, this just doesn't make sense to me. Like, the 18-year-old's not learning at the 3-year-old level, and like, this just doesn't make sense. And so the Lord started to show me some just little changes. It started to create some little bits of structure as we do, right, to start breaking kids into groups. And then I followed the way that I saw other churches doing it. I looked to churches that were growing. What is North Point doing? What are the churches that have Orange Curriculum Strategy doing? And I started to build what we see here. There's nothing wrong with this. Attractive environments, attractive teaching, high energy, kids jumping around. You know, we had like the beach balls. I remember one Sunday, we did a family Sunday, we had the massive beach balls, and this old man at our church just got pegged. Boof. And he's like just so upset about it. It's like one of the highlights of my kids' ministry career. After about 6 years of building and building and building, these high energy, I mean, I was going to conferences in Oklahoma to learn how to like bring puppeteering into our kids' ministry. Like, I was sold on entertaining kids until the Holy Spirit wrecked me. So I was in a time of prayer and fasting. and I was laid out. I love this was the message last night, because this is anything I've ever done that is worth talking about in my ministry has come from being on my face. So I'm laid out in my living room, and the Lord just reveals this strategy to me, and he just wrecks me. It's not about the environment, Jen. It's not about the entertainment, Jen. Get over it. And this is what I love about Connect Church, is we're called to change things up. So I go to my leadership team. I was like, guys, I think we're doing it wrong. And they're like, oh, we've invested like so much. Like, yeah, I know. Sorry. So this came with a bit of a time of repenting, like, and searching. And I'll be honest with you, 10 years down the road, here's my secret. I still don't know what I'm doing. No idea. But I have a strategy on paper that's inspired by the Holy Spirit that's helping me in the way. It's giving me some structure. It's giving me somewhere to go, and my team somewhere to go. So that's my hope for you today. My heart, my deep, deep heart for discipleship, and I say 0 to 18 because this is the table I think that the Lord is flipping in the kingdom. I'm not preaching today. God is so dissatisfied with the family. He's so dissatisfied with what's happening in the family. How do we look different than the world, guys? And I ask myself this in prayer repeatedly. How does the family unit that we're living in the church look different from the world? Okay? This is a separate side of my ministry that I could talk about for hours, but it all works together. It's all one strategy. So here's the lie the enemy wants us to believe. The lie the enemy wants us to believe is that it's the church's job to disciple the kids. If I get my kids and my youth to church, they'll be discipled. If I get my kids and youth to church, they'll be good Christians. If I get my kids and my youth to church, I can get my kids and my youth to hockey and to dance and to this and to that and to blah, 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 blah. And before we know it, our family units are so... This is what the Lord was showing me this morning, you guys. We put on all these bags, right? Hockey bags, baseball bags, dance bags, gymnastics bags. I don't know about your cultures. Our culture in Cranbrook is so competitive. Everything is a competitive sport now. Five-year-olds are traveling to hockey tournaments in other cities all over the Kootenays. Five-year-olds. Well, what does the word say? What are we supposed to put on? Come on. Put on Christ. Put on Christ. And so our families have all these bags, and then they read the word, put on Christ. They're like, oh, I got no more room. So they bring their kids to the church thinking, I'm doing it still. And this is the table that I believe the church that God wants to flip in the church. And this is, if you hear any narrative this morning, hear this. It is the family's job to disciple the kids first. And it's our job to equip the saints for ministry. So we are equipping families for ministry. I'll say it 100 times. I am blessed to be part of a church who sets the expectation for growth in discipleship. We have spent 10 years creating, through the Holy Spirit, discipleship models that work, mandates that set the expectation for growth. Our vision is live like Jesus. How do we live like Jesus? We become like him. We know him. We follow him. We learn how to do what he says, hear the voice of God and obey. And then we do as Jesus did. We go. And for a while, our kids and youth strategies were different from our church strategy until I went, wait a second. If we want this generation, these guys lead our church. They're awesome. You thought you were going to pick on me, I'm going to pick on you. If we want this generation to lead, as Joel was talking, leading from the compelling one, where does it start? Take a guess. What age do you think discipleship starts? Zero? Zero as in earth side, or zero as in utero side? Yeah. Utero side. Discipleship starts at the time of conception. Why? I'm so off script right now, it's not even funny. Why does discipleship start at the time of conception? Spirit is alive. What do you think is the number one thing being rooted in your child's life at the time of conception through utero? Your voice, yeah? Say it louder. Identity. From the second your child is conceived, their spirit has the ability to know, was I wanted? Was I loved? Was this pregnancy wanted? They feel. They know. We do inner healing ministry at our church, and I can't tell you how many people we've gone back and healed wounds from utero. I don't know where this lie began. Jesus, where'd the lie begin? I think I was in my mother's womb. Yeah. What was happening for your mom at that time? Well, there was a death in the family. She was under a lot of pressure. There was a lot of stress. There was a lot of fear. There was a lot of tension. And I've always felt like I'm too much. Discipleship starts in utero, guys. Time of conception. I'm so off script. So what? I want you to ask yourself just right now, what's your why for discipling kids? Okay, they're the future. Mm-hmm. For fun? Yeah, they're so fun. They're so fun. Sure. Yeah. I don't want them to go to hell. Hey? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's happening in the Canadian church today? Are there Americans in the room? Okay. What's happening? I'll say North American. What's happening in the North American church today? What's happening in North American culture regarding church? Doors are closing. Yeah. If there's no kids in your church, is your church alive? Man, we got to do a better job. And not with entertainment. With truth. With the presence. With heart. One of the biggest questions that people ask when I come to talk about kids' ministries and youth ministries is how do you get so many volunteers? How do you keep your youth and kids' ministries running? How do you get people to volunteer? Nobody wants to volunteer. Two things, maybe three. Prayer. Two, we have an expectation for excellence. I don't want just anybody. I would rather leave the stage from teaching on Sunday morning and be in kids' ministry every single week because they are worth it. And three, we have a senior pastor who has said, I will leave the stage to disciple our kids if we don't have the right people with the right heart motives to disciple our kids. And this is not just the church, this is schools too, right? This is the heartbeat. Schools, Christian schools have such a unique ability and a unique capacity to tap in and disciple parents and equip parents and give parents really good strategies and really good tools. Because here's the problem is that actually we parents, we actually don't know how to disciple our kids anymore. Because we weren't taught. And it's not anybody's fault. It just is lost on the North American church. So, my why, I have so many whys, but my why is that I just became discontented. I became dissatisfied to a place of actual anger and frustration to see kids being spit out of the church who were just walking into the world. That was my story. I left church. I went to Bible college. I flunked out of Bible college because I was drinking and sleeping around. Oops, like, where was my foundation? What's the one foundation? We want to say Jesus, right? It's love. The one foundation is love through Christ. It's agape. It's holy. Well, where's that love experienced first? Home. And yet, we're so busy with all of the things that we're not intentional with the love, with the agape that Christ gave us. And this has wrecked me I've been a parent for 12 years, and it's wrecked me for 12 years. It still wrecks me. So my why is that I got wholly frustrated with what I was seeing in my own fruit. So I've been in kids' ministry long enough that I started to see kids graduate our programs and, like, flounder. or one of the biggest ones that we're actively in prayer and fighting against, age 4, 5, 6. What happens at grade 4, 5, 6? What are they old enough to do? Stay home alone. Spiritually, I'm going to get into this, but in spiritual development of a grade 4, 5, 6 child, do you know what they're ready for? What they're itching for? Activation. I have spent the last how many years in kids ministry and at home learning all the stories. You tell me Jesus can heal. You tell me that the disciples walked and told people to get up in the name of Jesus and walk. You've told me that this can happen. I've learned this. You tell me there's spiritual authority. You tell me blah, 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 blah. Well, what is it? What now? They're itching. They're so, grade 4, 5, 6 is the most attacked age group in our churches, and it is the most exciting activation point in our kids' spiritual development. And we miss it. And not only do we miss it in our churches, we spit them into attractive youth programs that are filled with games and a little bit of Jesus and hope they're going to come out on the other side an active disciple in the kingdom. How's that working? It frustrates me to a point where I am willing to die on the hill of flipping the table for kids and youth ministry. It's got to change. And I couldn't agree more with Joelle's talking last night. All of this comes from the presence. Our kids ministries, our youth ministries at Connect Church, our young adult ministry, they are all functioning well because our leaders are on their faces. And they genuinely love the kids. And they genuinely want to see the kids not just have a foundation of the word, but a knowing of their identity and destiny in Christ. So, boy, I don't have enough time. So, we need to understand, and I'm happy to talk about any of this more. Come find me at lunch. We can sit together at a table if you want to talk more. But we really do need to understand the stages of spiritual development in kids. And actually, the stages of spiritual development in kids are very similar to the stages of spiritual development in an adult. So very quickly, we've got pre-believers, people who are dead in sin. We've got born again infants. They are excited, very young in their faith. We've got children who are growing a little bit, young adults who are slowly maturing and maybe even starting to help others mature in their faith. And then we've got adults who are running, right? They are owning their faith. They're loving Jesus. They're compelled by Jesus because they know how to seek him and find him and with their whole hearts. My friend Dan, he came up with this beautiful method in prayer one day called the something spots, okay? So we all have something spots in our brains, in our souls, in our life. We're full of something spots. You still have empty something spots, okay? Every something spot needs to be filled with something. Every something spot needs to be filled with something. What do you see your kids and youth filling their something spots with right now? Phone, social media, what else? Sports. Vapes. Seriously. Politics. Okay. The number one thing we can do as people who are responsible for equipping parents in discipleship and equipping our kids in the church is be intentional about filling these something spots. What do we want to fill it with? Throw some things out. Not Sunday school. Jesus. Okay. Like the layers of Jesus, right? Like it permeates, right? Justice? Okay, what else? Okay. Fruit of spirit, okay. Oh, come on. Dreams. Oh, yeah. Oh, look at, there's too much. Here's the thing about creating, This is a lot, right? Even just this. If we spent even 30 more seconds on this, you would leave this room going like, whoa, there's so many something spots and so many things to think, like fill those something spots and like, well, it's just too much. I'm just going to trust that my kids' curriculum's working. I have nothing against kids' curriculums. We use them. But can I tell you that the most popular kids' curriculum, which we were using for years, was spitting out character, not Jesus. And it took my mother-in-law, who, I love her, she's amazing. But she says, Jen, she works at our Christian school, you have a big church. Yes, I do. She's not a fan of the big church. Well, can I tell you what I'm seeing during my library time? Yes, please tell me. You're creating a lot of kids with good character, but they don't talk about Jesus. I was like, oh, it stung. And I wanted to judge her a little bit and be like, you don't judge my work. You're not there. But what do we judge our work by? Well, what's an outsider seeing? Matt, you guys, we have to be humble leaders. Do I know a secret about me? I'm confident up here talking about what I'm talking about because it's from the Holy Spirit, but I have no idea what I'm doing day to day. I have no clue. Because Jesus is flipping the table in front of me, and I've got four kids at home going, okay, Jesus, if you're flipping the table, I'm right here with you. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how. It's steps of obedience every single day. And it's being intentional. And it's having a strategy so you have a roadmap. Roadmaps are good, right? How many of you used your GPS this week? I still get lost with the GPS. We need to be intentional because we have so many something spots to fill in our kids. If we're not filling it, if their parents aren't filling it, the world will fill it. John Mark Comer says, something will disciple us. We are created to be disciples. Something will teach us. What do we want it to be? Do we want it to be Jesus? Do we want it to be the world? Do we want it to be their friends? Do we want it to be their team? Do we want it to be their coach? Who do we want speaking into our kids' lives? Church has become secondary. It's like, I hope we make it on Sunday. Hope we get there. Breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. And for a long time, it broke my heart through a lens of judgment. Oh, of course they joined hockey. Of course they're not going to be at church. Oh, look, now they're, will never be in competitive sports because the church is more important. Do you know how many people I hurt through that lens? I had to drop my lens of judgment against other families and realize actually it's my job to equip the saints into loving. What did Jesus say on the cross? Forgive them for they know not what they're doing. Our families are just following culture because it's all they know how to do. What is the church? Hope of the world. What does Ephesians 6 say? We are here to equip the saints for ministry. Equipping the saints for ministry does not look like attractional programs on a Sunday morning or on a Monday night youth or whatever. Discipling the next generation is what we say at Connect. Intentional discipleship, relational environments, and reproducible processes. Intentional discipleship. How are we discipled? Who disciples us? Now Sunday school. Jesus. Are we at the feet of Jesus? Okay, here's the other broken system. We look to people to disciple us. Okay, will you disciple me? Follow me? Right? We are disciples. That is our identity. If we're at the feet of Jesus being discipled by Jesus, guess what comes off on the people around us? Jesus. Okay? It's intentional discipleship. Okay? Relational environments. Kids now could care less about what the room looks like. They do not care. We brought in a handful of young adults into one of our elder meetings about 5 years ago. 7 years ago. Man, time flies. We were feeling a call in our church. We were a super attractional evangelistic church. That was the one thing. Evangelism. Get people baptized. We were missing discipleship completely about 10 years ago. And we brought some young adults in and we said, what are you guys seeking? What do you guys want? I won't say that. I'm going to say it. If your eldership team is full of gray hairs, you might want to move that along. Wisdom is, I am not understating wisdom and gray hairs in the church. We need every generation in the church. But if we didn't hear from the young adults, if we didn't hear from the youth, we'd still be stuck. Because what they said to us, you guys put so much effort into the stage and into the lights and into the music. We don't actually care about any of that. We want the presence. And we were wrecked. We're like, oh my gosh. Bring the young adults into your elder meetings and ask them, what is your generation seeking? This generation is seeking the realness. They are seeking a genuine, authentic relationship with Christ. They don't want the lights. They don't want the big bands. They want authenticity. This band that you guys see here playing this week are some of the most humble, beautiful young adults I've ever met. And they're not here for fame. They're not here because they want to boost their band's name or, you know, book gigs around the LifeLinks network. They're here because they are surrendered to Jesus, and you can feel that in their worship. Can I talk about it? Thanks, Jonah. These guys hang out in Alec and Jonah's living room and worship. I ask Alec, our youth pastor, I already asked him if I could talk about him. He said yes. He's living the strategy, and I'm just like, yes. What'd you do this week, Alec? What'd you do this weekend? Oh, I was just hanging out with my three discipleship boys, and we were up all night praying and fasting and worshiping, and like, it was pretty great. I'm like, what? Like, this is the generation. Can I tell you, I am learning more from Alec than I have learned from anybody in years about how to be a disciple of Jesus. They want authenticity. They want relationship. And they want it at home first. Kids want to be at home. Believe it or not, they want to be at home. And so I'm going to go through our strategy because that's why we're here, to learn the strategy. I could share 100 stories. I could share my heart for hours. But we need a roadmap to get here, to be intentional. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing I'll say about the roadmap. It is not a complete document ever. Do not save it in PDF because it will change every month. I've been wrecked this week and I have notes all over our strategy two, like our send out strategy. What are we actually doing? What are we actually offering to support our goals? It's wrecked. I got to go home and pray and fast again. Because our kids need the presence of God younger, more, deeper. How do we engage that? And how do we, I'm the family pastor, how do I equip parents? How do I teach them to seek the presence of God with their kids? I'm doing it in my house, but a lot of parents just don't know how. They just don't know how. So the strategy. I gave you a handout called The 7 Practices of Effective Ministry. You should read that. I'm not really going to go over it today for time's sake. This was a book by Andy Stanley, Reggie Joyner that we read early in our church. And I have this on my wall and I look at it for every ministry that I'm building. I look at this document because it's super, super, super helpful. The one that I'll make a note on, number 5 says, listen to outsiders. This is really important, but also number 1 is listen to Jesus, because your church isn't called to do what other churches are doing. Okay? I'm not here to get you to reproduce Connect Church's model. That's not my goal. My goal here today is for you to go home and seek the Holy Spirit to discern the model that he has for your church and your community. Because the needs of your church and your community or your school or wherever you're going to take this back to is different than Cranbrook, BC. It's kingdom. And so you have to go home and really think about that. One beautiful thing that I want to talk about just briefly on spiritual development of kids is that the Holy Spirit knows no age, truly. My kids were having spiritual encounters at 2-3 years old. Are we as parents awake enough to hear and see what's happening in our kids? What does Jesus say? Let the children come. Why? Because the is theirs. The kingdom of God is theirs. Do you know how many times my kids have moved me into the kingdom when I've been complacent? Like, one quick story. My little girl, she is prophetic. She is so prophetic. We don't need gifts to tell us. We don't need gift testing to tell us, right? She was having fear, so much fear. And we were praying through it. And then one night she came out and she says, Mom, I know what we need to do. What, Genoa? What do we need to do? Oh, we need to anoint the house. Can you get the oil? Oh, sure. Yeah, because death will pass us by. I was like, what? Yeah, that's what it says, right? With Moses. I was like, so we anointed the house. We prayed over every room. She went back to bed. And I was just in my living room just worshiping. Like, Lord, forgive me for not seeing what she sees. She comes back out up here. It's like 10 o'clock at night, and she's wired. And I'm like, Jojo, please go to bed. She's like, I can't, Mom. I just figured it out. I said, what do you mean you figured it out? She said, well, I went back to bed, and I read about Jesus in the desert, and I read about how God came and how he used the Bible to tell the devil to flee. And I just realized I have power. I was like, I text my husband. I'm looking at Jojo. He's at his brother's. Drinking whiskey. You got to get over here. The Holy Spirit's moving through our house. You got to get home right now. I can't come home. No, really, really, really. God's here. You got to come. The Holy Spirit fell on my daughter that night. She realized her authority in Christ. At 9, how many of you realized your authority in Christ? Like, what ages? I think I was 27, 25. I think I had my first demon encounter around 25 and like had no idea what to do. Terrified of the thing. I had to call for help to deliver this demon. I didn't know what to do. I'm not bragging on my kids. I'm bragging on Jesus. So hear my heart when I share my stories about my kids. My kids know how to deliver demons. They're not intimidated when they see somebody with a demon. They know what to do. They know their authority. My older two. Not my babies yet. Yet. Well, I don't shelter them. If somebody is going through something at church and there's a demon manifesting, I don't usher them out. I pray a hedge of protection over them and I say, watch what Jesus is going to do. Not watch the demon. Watch what Jesus is going to do, guys. Watch. And when it breaks and that person is set free and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, my kids go, whoa. Did that really happen? Yeah, that's Jesus. What are we teaching? It's real. Jesus is real. Encounters with Jesus are real. And so this flaky curriculum Sunday school stuff is not doing it. That's going to spit out Christian kiddos who identify as Christians who go into the world and live of the world. The difference is when we intentionally raise our kids as the church to equip the parents. The parents are the front line of ministry. Let's get that clear. Okay? We have to be churches that equip our kids to be saints in the kingdom. And you need an intentional strategy to do that. Okay, because the enemy wants to rob the kids from the kingdom. Matthew 18, says, if you want to plunder the house, you must bind the strong man of the house. The enemy's number one goal is to bind mom and dad in sin, bind mom and dad in fear, bind mom and dad in shame, bind mom and dad in busyness so that he can plunder the kids. That's his goal. If the enemy has a strategy, should we not too? Okay. So let's get into it, Jen. Come on. We don't have time for that. Okay. I'll just quickly say, go home. Call me if you need to call me. I will talk about this stuff with anybody for as long as you'll let me. Understand the spiritual growth of kids. Okay. There's books in the back of your pamphlet. I can send you resources. Understand that kids are growing in their discipleship from conception till they die. We don't want to miss one single phase. And if anybody ever tells you, ooh, you're coming into the toddler phase, terrible twos, I'll pray for you. Say, yeah, can you bless them? Because this is going to be the best time of my life. Ooh, teenage years. We've been told this lately. Buckle up. It's going to be a rough one. You got a spunky one there. Isn't it amazing what she's going to do for the kingdom? I can't wait to equip her. Perspective. Equip your parents with perspective. Every phase is valuable. Every phase is beautiful. Every phase is the next step of spiritual growth in your children. So God gave me this strategy flat on my face in prayer. I went back to our elders. Frank said to me, Jen, do you realize this is a 10 to 15 year plan? I was like, Do you trust me? I was like, please trust me. He said, Jen, if you put this strategy in place, we're not going to see the fruit for 10 to 12 years to know if it's working. I was like, I know. But do you guys trust me? Here's the beautiful thing about our elders. We trust you. We are spitting out disciples who know Jesus, who become like Jesus, who follow Jesus, who live like Jesus. And they're 15 years old leading Bible studies in the mall with their kids, like their friends from school. Our young adults are turning around and leading our youth. Our youth are turning around and leading our kids. The strategy I saw 15 years ago is working, and it's beautiful. Not because the church says, we need volunteers, please sign up. We need people to teach our kids. They're signing up because they're like, I'm transformed by Christ. I respond to his call, and he's asking me to serve here. That's why people are signing up for our kids and youth. Not because the church is asking them to. We still call out, don't get me wrong. So how do we build a strategy? Well, we start on our face. We start with fasting. We start with praying. Okay, close your eyes. Put your papers down. Okay, how many of you put your hands up our parents in the room? Okay, senior leaders? Okay, kids ministry, youth ministry. That is not limited to the church, okay? I want you to ask Jesus a question. Jesus, say this with me. Jesus, what is your end goal when these kids graduate grade 12? What's the goal, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Increase your presence, Jesus, among us. Father, speak, Jesus. Okay. With your eyes closed, can you put your hand up if the Lord spoke to you? Mike, can I pick on you? You're a senior leader. All right, what did the Lord speak to you as the end goal for the kids? Independently discipled. Praise God. That's beautiful. Randall. Passionate followers of Jesus. Passionate followers of Jesus, independently discipled. One more. Go ahead. To spread the gospel. Independent disciples who are passionately following Jesus to spread the gospel to the world. Sounds like a statement to me. Sounds like an end goal. So when we're creating our strategy, we start with the end goal. And we work our way backwards. Okay? So if God spoke to you, would you write down what he said? Here's the thing. What God spoke to me the first time I said that prayer is only a shadow of what is in our living document now. Because he just keeps deepening it and developing it. Okay? So our end goal, let's see. We transition our kids at grade 12. If they're spiritually mature, if they're showing signs of this goal, which most of them are, we transition them to young adults ministry in grade 12 because we don't want to lose them in the transition from high school to college. So we transition them into the young adults community in grade 12. But guess what? They're still discipling in youth and kids. Okay? So grade 12 transition, here's our final goal. Students own their own faith and have a personal relationship with Jesus. They are motivated to follow Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus does because of their love for him. They are practicing spiritual disciplines and are becoming equipped to do what Jesus calls them to do. They are now transitioning to young adults group. Students are encouraged to disciple peers and those younger than them, as well as serve and lead in other ministries. They're encouraged. They're not told what to do. Why? We have to discern our call from Jesus and Jesus alone. How many of us as adults have found our worth and identity in what we do in the church? Ooh. We have to break that off the next generation. Their identity is not found in their worth. Their identity is not found in man saying, good job. Another little story. This summer, my daughter, we were serving at Crow's Nest Bible Camp. It was amazing. And my daughter was in the kitchen. She's not even 12 yet. She is like 6 o'clock in the morning, setting her alarm to get out of the trailer, be in the kitchen. And on day three, I said to her, sweetheart, you're so tired. You need to take a break. I can't. They need me. I have to be their mom. I said, oh. I'm in my head, you know, like you're 11. Like, do they really? Mom, I'm making all the cookies for campfire. I have to be there. I was like, oh, okay. I said, but sweetheart, like you're tired. Like dropping tired. Can you go to the trailer and just take a rest? Fine. I said, and when you're in the trailer, can you just ask Jesus, do you want me back in the kitchen today? Why? I said, well, you know what, sweetheart? Tell me why you're serving in the kitchen. Well, I love when they say, yay, Azzy's here. I'm so glad you're here. Oh, Azzy, you do such a good job peeling those carrots. Oh, Azriel, you did such a good job making snack for campfire last night. Oh, Azriel, she said, Mom, I just love it when they say that to me. I said, oh, sweetheart, I know. Doesn't that feel good? I get that. But can you just ask Jesus, do you want me back in the kitchen today? So she goes to the trailer. She falls dead asleep, sleeps through supper. Wakes up at campfire time. And she says, oh, do they have cookies for campfire? Yeah, they have cookies. Oh, good, she said, because Jesus said, just stay with me. We have to teach our kids to come to the presence. And Sunday school curriculum's not doing it, guys. Pray for leaders to come into your kids and youth ministries who are going to teach the presence of God. Equip senior leaders in the room. Equip your parents as saints in the ministry to disciple their kids. Just to be aware of these questions, just to be aware to catch that identity. Ooh. Parents' jobs is to speak and help the Lord manifest identity and destiny in their kids. That's our job. It's beautiful. And so many parents just don't know how to do it. So equip your parents. So we start with the end goal. Okay, be independent, passionate followers of Jesus is the essence of our goal. We see kids fasting. Grade 12 fasting for 7 days. At Easter, we do a 7-day fast. Our grade 12s join us, like, not because they're told to. My kids and a handful of other kids in our church whose parents are intentionally discipling them, they fast with us at an age-appropriate level. Everything can be taught at an age-appropriate level, okay? So when we do our week of prayer and fasting at the church, my 6-year-old is not fasting food, but this is how we start. Jesus, what do you want me to fast from? Sweets. It's been sweets. It's been TV. It's been, for our older kids, lunch. I'm just going to fast from lunch. Some of my daughter's most beautiful prophetic paintings have come out of her time of fasting. 11 years old. Blows my mind. Greater things. Greater things will be done through the next generation. The mysteries of Christ have not been revealed until this generation. Galatians. Well, guess what? The mysteries of Christ are being made known to every generation deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until the coming of Christ. Are we awake? Those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. This generation, blowing my mind. Blowing my mind. So we work backwards. This is a team effort, okay? I don't want you to go home and do this by yourself. Here's my other note. Do not do this without your senior leadership, okay? We do not want to create division in churches. We don't want to create 2 visions in the same church or 3 visions in the same church. We want our churches unified. We need our church leadership unified. So if you're a kids or a youth minister and you're in the room and you're like, I want to create a strategy, please go to your senior leadership first. Explain the heart. Call me. I'm happy to talk to senior leaders and get them working with you and on board. I will tell you one of the reasons this strategy has been successful outside of the Holy Spirit is that my senior leadership team backs me 110%. Not only that, they're now living it and speaking it. How many were at family camp and experienced the family service? That's our heartbeat now. Like that, Frank and Jody, they carry this deep burning passion of my heart they've adopted into their hearts. And now we're passionately burning as a church to equip the saints for ministry, to equip parents for ministry. We're created to work in team. We're not created to do this alone. So please, please meet with your senior leadership. Do not do this without them. Work your way backwards, right to 0. Once you've established the goal for every age group, so I read you our final goal. Here's our first goal, birth to age 3. Leaders and parents work together. What happens when you drop kids off in the nursery? Hey, guess what? As somebody who does heart ministry regularly, guess what we're introducing? Fear, trauma, separation in the name of Jesus? Well, that doesn't make sense. Create an intentional discipleship environment. Intentional discipleship, relational environment, reproducible process. Okay? We're just shifting this. This has been about 3 years coming. We will no longer be a nursery where you drop off your screaming kids, introducing fear and trauma and separation. We will be a family lounge where the service is piped in, streamed in. We'll have coffee for parents. We're going to have intentional hosts in the nursery who are passionate about the heart of discipleship in families to equip what? Equip the saints for ministry at home. When mom comes and she's like disheveled and burnt out and she's exhausted and she's like, I'm at the end of my rope, we will have people in the room to minister to her heart. Intentional discipleship at every single phase. So we're shifting this. Again, working document. It never gets saved in PDF. It's editable. Okay? Leaders and parents work together to ensure babies experience church and home as safe, loving, partnered communities committed to discipleship and parenting, introducing kids to Jesus and his loving character through relational and nurturing interactions. Simple. It takes a lot of work. Okay? If I'm honest with you, year one will be building your end goals. This is a long game process, but it's a beautiful long game process. Phase two is what are we doing about it? Phase three is now I am putting the tools in place, the programs, people over programs. Say it with me, people over programs. People over programs. Hearts over programs. People over programs. People, 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 people. Sometimes we get so, I am this person. Sometimes we get in our office at church. We come to do our get ready for kids ministry. We spend so much time like this on our computer or hours in the dollar store getting the right materials or planning the right games. How much time are you spending laid out with Jesus? I had to put a whiteboard on my door at work so I could write no. No. Or praying. Because the environment is, we're doing, right? This is church. Are you, most of you church staff or volunteer? Like, yeah, okay. We strive to make these things happen. We have to stop striving. We have to stop striving. Everything we do comes from intention at Connect. This, like I said, this is going to change now. So the end goal, so how are we supporting our end goal? Weekly group, what we call DNA, which is discipleship groups of three of the same sex that meet intentionally for discipleship, nurturing, and accountability. These are deep, intimate, let's talk about your addictions groups. This is where Jesus shows up and demons are cast out and people are healed. We do summer camp referrals. We do retreats. It looks like a lot, but it's all done with such intention. Equipping parents, we equip through, right now, we equip through potlucks, appropriate, age-appropriate discipleship tools. Everything can be taught at an age-appropriate level. My kids are learning to hear the voice of God at, my youngest is six. She really doesn't get it, but I'm going to keep talking about it. Why? Because I'm building her faith to know that Jesus is going to talk to her. My son, oh, I wish I had more time. My son, the other week, he's like, Mom, every time I go outside to ride my bike, I hear, Jaren! And I look around and nobody's there, Mom. I was like, interesting. Where have I heard this before? Every day, Mom, I go and I ride my bike, Jaren! Nobody's there. So what do I do with him? Where do I go in the Bible? Jaren, next time that happens, I want you to say, yes, Lord, I'm here. Okay, Mom. 2 days later, Mom. He was six. Come on. Let's be real with our kids, hey? No more fluffy kids ministry puppets. The last thing that the Lord really showed me is important in our kids' ministries and youth ministries, ministries in general, is to have intentional leadership. He showed me in a vision this idea of like a firehouse. So there's the chief, the captain, the lieutenants, and then the firefighters. Why does the chief never go in the fire? He needs to see, right? He's got the blueprint of the building that's burning. He needs to see everything that's going on. So your lieutenant is a senior leader, keeping you on vision. An elder, I'm the lieutenant of our team. I'm an elder. I'm the family pastor. I oversee our kids' staff and our youth staff. And I meet with them regularly to make sure they're on mission, on vision. The captain, that's your team lead. So we've got Alec, who leads our youth amazingly, and we've got Crystal, who is outstanding leading our kids. And then underneath that, we have lieutenants for every age group, okay? Nursery has their own leader. 4, 5, 6 has their own leader. Youth has their own leader. Youth girls have their own leader. And we equip at every tier. You cannot do the strategy alone. And if you try, This is what's the number one thing that happens in youth and kids leaders? Burnout within a few years. Okay? You cannot do the strategy alone. I will help you build it if you need help because I don't have time to go into it. It's 10 o'clock. So I didn't leave any time for questions. I trust you would have asked a question if you had it. If you would like to meet me at a table at lunchtime, I would be happy to answer any questions that you have. And I will also just say, I live for this. This is, you know, when the Lord puts a burning mantle of passion on your heart, this is the hill I will die on. Flipping the tables for kids and youth in our families and in our churches across this network. Across the network, across the globe. So I'm happy to meet with you. I'm happy to come to your community. I'm happy to meet with you on Zoom. I'm happy to workshop with your team. Just give me a place to lay my head and I will work for the kingdom as hard as I can to see this happen in every church, in every community. So, yeah. Be blessed. Be blessed.